Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Something has to give. The two longest Grey Cup droughts go head-to-head at Grey Cup 107 in Calgary. For more leading to Grey Cup Sunday, it's Rod Peterson.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody. As we set sail on hour two of the program, episode 118 of the program, coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada, where we care about things like the CFL out here in Western Canada and the Grey Cup. For those that are watching, you can see on the backdrop, it is our Grey Cup week special here. And as we roll along here, I'm hoping somebody, our viewers specifically, can tell me what Charleston Hughes is upset about today. He's going off on Twitter. I think we've got a good idea. He's now being called out for supposedly going after Zach Collaros in the West Final on Sunday. Particularly, friend of this program, Marshall Ferguson, the voice of the Ticats, for some reason has picked a game that his team wasn't even involved in to go after Charleston Hughes. I don't understand why they're going... It's over. The game's over. What are you talking about it for on Tuesday?
Well, I mean, Marshall's talking about a former Ticat.
Is Zach?
No, in Charleston.
Oh, yeah,
Charleston
for an hour.
Charleston was a Ticat
for an hour.
For at least 30 minutes.
I'd leave Charleston alone and focus on the game. Why are we going back and talking about this? By the way, that is Ryan Ballantyne, if you've just joined us here in hour two, Stan Peters, blogger, podcaster, and chief punk. How would you like to be referred to as? Podcaster, reporter, what?
I write for Three Down Nation. I do the podcast at Horseman Radio. And
media personality, should I say?
Yeah, sure. There's a variety of different things that that I can come on and talk about.
Chief Punk works for me.
Punk,
yeah, Chief,
pretty good
Chief
to
Punk
me, yeah.
worked for me, too. I thought it was hilarious the first time I saw that, and I'm fine with it. It's all good with me.
Stan Peters, Ticats Riders alum Marshall Hamilton here in the bunker as well. Clark's telling me, just on the pro football vein here, that Antonio Brown is on the apology campaign, and he's got the tweet here. This is from AB this morning. It's kind of muddled up on our screen here. Sincerely,
Mr. Kraft.
Oh, Mr. Kraft, apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB. Well,
he must be missing his NFL contract.
Somebody's gotten to Antonio Brown.
Is he broke already?
Clearly. And AB, for one, I wouldn't be doing it on Twitter. Call the man. Get his number. Email him. What? Don't do it for the whole world to see.
Wait outside that massage shop.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're going to find him there. Yeah,
the it's massage just shop.
Somebody's clearly gotten to... You're right. It's been, what, a couple of weeks now without a big paycheck, and he's gone to the apology route. But at least he is apologizing. Colin Kaepernick never has. And he doesn't understand why he's not getting an offer after his orchestrated workout on Saturday.
He shouldn't be. And that workout was a joke. That workout was a joke. The idea that the NFL railroaded Kaepernick again after he already got them to pay him in a collusion lawsuit is ridiculous. The idea that Kaepernick's not playing in the NFL is a joke. When you watch some of these guys on Sunday, there's no reason why Kaepernick's not in the NFL beyond this collusion that was obviously admitted to, or the NFL wouldn't have paid him off.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't want to challenge you back because I'm not sure why you said it, Rod, but apologize for what?
AB?
Yeah. No, not it.
Kaepernick.
No, Kaepernick.
He's got nothing to apologize for.
He took a stand.
And that's why he's not in the NFL.
But why should he apologize for taking a stand?
Okay, you know what's funny? I was leaving the studio yesterday and I turned on the Stephen A. Smith show from ESPN Radio. And you know that I love Stephen A.
Yep.
Here was his take on that. From a black man, he said, you can't rip the NFL and the owners and the GMs and the coaches for collusion, then turn around and beg him for a job. So I'm not going to get into what the whole political commentary there was from Steve.
Apologize for accusing them of collusion?
Yeah. Why would they sign him now? For instance, to go a little further, and by the way, this isn't stuff, fortunately, that we get into in Canada, but he basically said, yeah, it's not fair that a black man can't walk down the street at night with his hood up without fear of being shot or arrested, but the fact of the matter is, that's the truth. So if you want to stay alive, don't do it. Point being, Colin, if you want to play in the National Football League, stop calling out the owners and the GMs and the coaches for colluding against you. Maybe bite your tongue. Have a little humble pie and go play. But as you know, this NFL workout was set up, and then he changed the terms himself on Saturday. I would love to ship him. I'll write on the box, I'll ship him this. The reason you're not in the NFL. Then I'll slide a mirror into it. Just wrap it up. Look in the mirror. This is why you're not in the NFL. And the same thing goes with Antonio Brown.
But the NFL asked him to sign away all of his rights. The NFL said, if you do this workout that we set up for you on a Saturday, by the way, which never happens. Workouts are on Tuesdays. So on a Saturday when nobody's going to be able to come because their game is tomorrow.
And yet 25 teams were going to come anyways.
24 teams were going to send somebody.
Right.
They weren't going to send the guy.
Yeah.
The guy is at home because
getting ready for a game, which he should be.
The guy would be there if it was on a Tuesday. So typically these workouts are on Tuesdays. They weren't. It wasn't on a Tuesday. It was on a Saturday. They asked Kaepernick to eliminate the possibility that he could ever sue the NFL again and sign away his rights to do that. It doesn't make any sense for him to do that. Especially when, again, they've already admitted that they colluded to keep him out of the NFL by paying him off. So at this point, what is the benefit of Colin Kaepernick signing away his rights to sue the NFL? Especially when they offer him a garbage solution, a solution that's not equivalent to what other guys are getting.
So I can't understand. Are you on Kaepernick's train or you're not?
100% on Kaepernick's side.
You are.
I think he should have been able to take the knee. I understand that freedom of speech and freedom of action does not come with freedom of consequence. And he got cut by his team for creating a social media firestorm. However, the idea that Colin Kaepernick is not playing in the NFL right now and GMs are saying, well, he's just not talented enough, is a joke. The guy had Pro Bowl numbers in his last season in San Francisco. He should be in the NFL. He's better than most of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And he's yet,
not
teams,
got the job.
And yet because, teams won't sign him.
Yep, same as Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is also not in the NFL despite how talented he is.
Yes and no. I think Colin Kaepernick has an attitude problem. And you would say that you think AB does too. But I had an NFL coach, former NFL coach I was talking to on the phone 10 days ago. And he goes, I think AB has psychological problems. And I'm saying, yes, he does. So let's get those addressed before he goes back to the field. So for him to apologize to Robert Kraft today really doesn't mean anything. We often say in the recovery world, the best apology is changed behavior. If AB goes there a week or two later, he's back to the old AB. What's the point? Which I would predict right now would be what would happen.
Well, but AB got cut because of rape allegations.
Yeah.
AB didn't get cut because he was a bad teammate.
So he shouldn't be apologizing to Robert Kraft.
He shouldn't be apologizing to Robert Kraft.
He should be apologizing to the girl or girls.
Yep. And again, that process is going to take time.
And the fact that he's not kind of tells you that he hasn't changed.
Right. So AB's apologizing. He's trying to, you know, change the mindset of the people around him and say, oh, well, he's apologizing now. And he's hoping that the news cycle has moved on fast enough that people forget why he was cut.
And that's why it's different with Colin. Colin didn't rape anybody. He
He just took a knee at, by the way, the behest of a veteran. A veteran said, well, what you could do is take a knee during the national anthem. And so he did. And so as a result, everybody said, well, you're disrespecting veterans. But it was a veteran that asked him to do it.
Ryan is watching from the Swift Current Broncos this morning. I assume he's either in their office or on the bus. He says, Ryan Schweitzer from the Broncos office. Who is this bearded man? And why is he not a regular guest? Because he injects logic and he argues with me. And people like that aren't invited on this show regularly.
And he lives in Calgary.
He's a Stampeders.
Harder to do from Calgary.
Stampeders media personality. So anyways, because you got the crowd eating out of the palm of your hand, Ryan Ballantyne, it is Grey Cup week here on the Rod Peterson Show. So let's tell the folks what you've got, kind of a cute little thing going on for Grey Cup week in Calgary.
Yeah, what we saw what we know is that Kevin Glenn at some point or another has had his playing rights owned by every team in the CFL. And so what we have done is we've partnered with the Grey Cup Festival, and Jordy McLeod at the Grey Cup Festival is instrumental in getting this done. But we have got a Kevin Glenn jersey from every team in the league.
It's awesome.
And so there are going to be nine guys wandering around Grey Cup week with the Kevin Glenn jerseys on and got some wigs and stuff. And you should
see.
Is this
like Where's Waldo?
Well, it's where there's going to be a pack of us. We're going to be pretty easy to spot. But the Wandering Glens are sponsored by, of course, the Grey Cup Festival and the Canadian Football Podcast Network, of which Horseman Radio, my show, is a member. And so we put it all together, and the podcast guys are going to be walking around together at Grey Cup, going to all the parties and everything, all of us decked out in our Kevin Glenn jerseys, because there's one thing the CFL does well, and that's unite Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
And we can all unite collectively among the player who's played for us all, and that's Kevin Glenn.
I really like the idea, but I have one obvious question. Kevin Glenn was bald.
Yes.
So what's with these wigs?
Yeah, you don't look a lot.
Look,
yeah, why?
So in the era of racial sensitivity we're in, not only is blackface not okay, also some sort of wig representing Kevin Glenn is also not okay. So rather than shave our heads, again, nine white guys walking around as skinheads isn't the greatest look either. So we figured we'd do some sort of crazy wig. So we have these two-tone wigs, one for every team. So we've got a green and white Saskatchewan wig, a blue and white Argo wig, a blue and yellow.
Okay.
And so
that
we've
makes
got
more
a,
sense,
a
yeah.
two-tone wig for every team because we don't want to.
What an absolute treasure that man is, by the way.
He's
Kevin
phenomenal.
Glenn. I mean, you
He's
wouldn't
phenomenal.
Be doing this if you didn't love him.
No, right? and if I didn't think it, you know, Kevin Glenn was always good to me when I was in the locker room after games, after wins, after losses. Kevin Glenn was pretty amazing.
Does he know this and what role?
Yeah.
What role
oh, yeah. He so initially when we started talking about doing this almost 3 years ago, when he hadn't played for the Eskimos yet, and we were going to put a question mark on the back of the Eskimo jersey. It was before he would retire, and we were kind of going back and forth. And he said, "Well, look, I've got jerseys from almost every team. So if you need help, you know, I've got some family members that are bigger guys. They've got jerseys. We can maybe collect some for you and get them together." So Kevin's been on board with this the entire way. I sent him a picture of the jerseys and wigs last night, all laid out. And he's incredibly excited to see this happening. He's following us on Twitter, at Wandering Glens, if you're looking for that Twitter account. CFL Wandering Glens on Instagram. Kevin's 100% for it. He totally believes in it. And, again, couldn't have been more gracious about us doing this.
I
mean this in a positive way, but that's very CFL-ish, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredibly. Yeah, it's incredible. The CFL, exactly. It's what brings Canadians together.
Boy, it's a good point, Marshall, that you bring that up, Kevin, by the way. And we're going to have to take a break here because it's been a long segment, one here, an hour or two, but on the Prairie Mobile text line, Metal Shingle Guy has written in with a couple comments regarding short yardage for the Riders or red zone offense, goal line offense. Metal Shingle Guy says, "Sure miss Nick Marshall on the goal line sneak." Whatever happened to that?
Exactly.
It was unstoppable last year.
He was phenomenal last year.
So that Metal Shingle Guy, point taken. He goes on to say, "Charleston Hughes rolled up on Caleros late." Now, I didn't see it because I was at the game in the TSN suite. Thanks again, TSN Bell Media, for inviting me there. But you don't get the replays on the screen like you used to. It's all the ad messages and the video. And that's fine. I love what they're doing with the games. But I did not see it. And he was flagged at the time, right? And you're not going to get supplementary discipline now unless the league's going to come out Thursday and fine him, which I guess they could, but the season is over. You're just dying to say something, I can tell.
They didn't show a suspect defensive play from
in
the
Regina.
Rough Riders in Regina on the board. I'm stunned by this.
The game's over.
Very stampeder-ish.
Why are you calling Charleston Hughes out now? Anybody. That's sad that anybody would do that. Let's talk about the Grey Cup game. And furthermore, you talk about CFL-ish and that in good terms. 1.6 million people watching the West Final on Sunday and 1.2 watching the semifinal. Kirk Penton said it Friday on this show. Canadians, whether they want to admit it or not, love the CFL.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Why can't they just admit it?
It's not as sexy as the NFL.
It is the booty call at 2 in the morning. The CFL gets the call from sports fans. They don't want anybody to know they're calling. But they want the booty call. Everybody, look at you.
I just figured you would throw straight to break right after that. I thought, that's a great end.
Clark says, we got to get to break. Eddie Steele on the way. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Your number one source ahead of Grey Cup 107, The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning sports update. The Kansas City Chiefs have regained a half-game lead in the AFC West by winning in Mexico City last night. Daniel Sorensen picked off Phillip Rivers at the goal line with 18 seconds to go to preserve the Chiefs' 24-17 win over the Chargers. Washington Capitals forward Garnet Hathaway could be hearing from the NHL today after he was given a match penalty and thrown out for spitting on Anaheim Ducks defenseman Eric Gudbrandsson last night in a 5-2 win. Montreal Canadiens on the road facing the Columbus Blue Jackets in one of 13 NHL games. Montreal forwards Jonathan Drouin and Paul Byron won't be in the lineup. Both players scheduled to undergo surgery today. The Maple Leafs hope a trip to Vegas is the cure for their losing streak. Toronto's lost five in a row entering tonight's game against the Golden Knights. The Calgary Flames will try and halt a four-game slide tonight when they host the Colorado Avalanche. And that is your Tuesday morning sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. I noticed Three Down Nation here has published the list of Rough Riders free agents for 2020. We got 3 months after Grey Cup to get into that, wouldn't you say, Marshall?
Yeah.
It's Grey Cup week.
30 of them, but I think every team's going to have between 20 and 30.
Yeah, Murph was on here yesterday saying 75% of the league are free agents. And when some people have said, what are you going to talk about when football's over? It's never over. So we'll be fine.
But we're not apologizing for it either.
No. But we'll be talking about that all winter, plus coaching carousel and all the rest. I'm not going to get into the Riders free agents here today right now. But what I will get into is the poll results, checking the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. We are deciding today the division finalists for GM of the Year. And in the West, Jeremy O'Day is leading with 80% of the vote. Shocking, I know. Says Ryan Ballantyne, the Stampeders media personality. 15% to Kyle Walters in Winnipeg, 3% to John Huffnagel. Brock Sunderland, 2% in Edmonton. And in the East, running away with it, the tandem, The Ticats going with a two-person GM system. Drew Alamang and Sean Burke, they're leading with 59%. Kavis Reed in Montreal coming in second at 28%. I'm not joking. Can't even make this up. Jim Popp with the Argos, 8%. By the way, he was fired too. And Marcel Desjardins of the Red Blacks last place, 5%. So it looks like tomorrow it's going to be a showdown of Jeremy O'Day versus the Ticats GMs for GM of the Year in the Canadian Football League.
And Rod, one of our viewers wrote in, I can't remember who it was, but I think it's a really good point. And they made the point that Jeremy O'Day wasn't even a general manager in January.
So thus, even more proving why he should win it. He hasn't even, well, for a calendar year.
Yeah, that's sort of where I was leaning. That's where I was leaning for Ryan's benefit anyway.
How can you laugh at that, Ryan?
I can laugh at that because the team was effectively put together.
No, not even close.
That was before free agency, too.
Ryan, Cody Fajardo.
Cody Fajardo from Saskatchewan.
Maybe William Powell, Emmanuel Arsenault, Solomon Alaminian, yeah, Micah great. Johnson. Those were all signees by Jeremy.
Yes.
Plus, he hired a coach. You said he had his coach, too.
Money. You're right.
Under his, no, stop. Everybody has the same amount of money.
Okay. No, but he went out and he spent money on Micah Johnson. He spent money
smart
on
money, though.
Manny Arsenault. He brought in, smart money. Smart. I'm not suggesting he didn't have a good season. What I'm saying is that the turnover on this roster wasn't nearly as complete as it was in other places, especially with Huff, because Huff lost a lot of those guys to other teams that are now all-stars on those teams, and the Stamps still replaced them and went 12-6.
Well, you remind me a little of Jock Wilson from QR77 Radio in Calgary, who we got in a huge argument over this, and he doesn't like me, and I don't like him, and we both admit it, and it's fine, and that's the way it is. Are you like him? Like, you won't even, you're like, bah, 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 Huff's no, the GM of the, bah, bah, bah.
I'll certainly listen to it. I'll certainly listen to the idea that he is. But Huff, let's not forget that the Stampeders had 12 guys that played 18 games this year. And one of those guys was Nick Arbuckle, who really only played 11 of the games. Because he started seven, and he ran short yardage a couple times. So your backup QB plays 18 games. Otherwise, you have 11 guys on your roster that played 18 games. In Saskatchewan, you went 13-5. You had 21 players on the roster that played 18 games. So almost twice as many guys in Saskatchewan stayed injury-free than stayed injury-free in Calgary. Calgary had 71 guys on the roster this year that played a game. 71 players, and they went 12-6. Saskatchewan had 59 or 60. So you had 11 less guys that had to get on the field. You had 11 less players that you had to rotate in to a professional football game. That makes a difference when you're talking about chemistry. You guys added 14 players to a 46-man roster. Calgary added 25 to a 46-man roster. So in the course of the year, Calgary had to replace more than half their roster after replacing more than half their starters out of camp.
Marshall, what are you thinking?
Well, let me appease Ryan a little bit, because it'd be nice to have Ryan on more often, because I think he's a
I'll always be here.
I think he's a great guest. But I will say that it's a shame that Huffnagel is not getting more votes than 0%, because I do agree with most of what you say. However, the biggest reason why teams are successful in the Canadian Football League is because of, and not necessarily in this order, but quarterback, coach, and Canadian talent. And I think what Huff did had nothing to do with coach, had nothing to do with quarterback, had nothing to do with Canadian talent. All the moves that he had to make were, for the most part, American talent in different spots like that, which takes a lot of time. But he had such great building blocks already in place because he had a head coach and because he had a starting quarterback. So he deserves way more votes than zero. But I still think Jeremy O'Day would be my vote.
Well, you did lose the best Canadian player in the league in Alex Singleton. So Alex Singleton is gone. You lose Junior Turner. You lose Juwan Breskison, who's a starting Canadian receiver. The Canadian depth in Calgary took a substantial hit. Eric Fraser retires right before camp. You lost four Canadian starters within the first three games. And again, Calgary still goes on to win 12. It's not that I'm taking anything away from Jeremy O'Day. What happened here in Saskatchewan was a phenomenal year. It's not a surprise to me that Craig Dickinson was successful. He should have been a head coach long before now. And fortunately for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, you know, you see Chris Jones leave and go down to Cleveland. And now you can put Craig Dickinson in the role in which he was going to be successful in. So, and never mind, I understand that Zach's going to be starting in the Grey Cup this week, but if Zach Collaros was not the answer here, certainly, with the offense in Saskatchewan, him getting injured on the third play of the season was a blessing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Well, we'll sort it out tomorrow, because it looks like it'll be Jeremy O'Day versus the Ticats GMs for GM of the Year. And
I'm thinking about 80-20. Well, I'm going to go 80-20.
Tell your friends in Calgary to get the tweet going and vote on this. That's why we have a vote, and we'll hand out the Roddy tomorrow. I invite you guys to put on your headphones because we're going out on the video chat now to Edmonton. Grey Cup champion, our Edmonton correspondent, Eddie Steele, joins us today. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
Can you settle the tie here? Because we're not even talking about the Bombers GM, Kyle Walters, for GM of the Year. Who wins it in the West Division in your mind?
Obviously Jeremy's done a really good thing with the Riders. Huff is always going to be Huff. He's had a lot of success in terms of putting a team together in Calgary. I think we all know that. His track record is proven. I probably would give it to J.O. though this year. Just going out and acquiring a piece like Fajardo, acquiring a couple of the other assets that he has, he's put together quite a good team. And I don't think any of us would have thought the Riders would have had the success that they had. So I give it to J.O. this year.
What was your take, and before we look at the 107th Grey Cup matchup, what was your take about Division Finals Sunday and those games?
It was a good week of football, man. The Hamilton game, kind of expected Hamilton to come out on top. They are firing on all cylinders, tough offense, really good defense, and they're rolling. I mean, they've been rolling all season. They haven't really had too many hiccups, and they just continued it even with the bye week, so that was pretty interesting to see because, everybody, it can go one of two ways. You can keep rolling or you can come out kind of slow. And Edmonton had the big win in Montreal, and Trevor Harris, so-called playoff Trev, was playing some really good football. So Hamilton came out and did what they were supposed to do. And the Winnipeg's ass game, man, I read a stat on Twitter this morning about how it was the most watched English program on Sunday in terms of sports. So with good reason. It was a heck of a football game. Obviously tough game for the Riders. But you know what? Winnipeg came in and they handled business. And I just got to say this one narrative about fire McAdoo, and everybody's calling for McAdoo's head. And I'll be the first to say his offense, I've never been a huge believer. I call it the McAdon't offense. But the reality is, there's a couple of key plays in the game where it's not all on McAdoo's head. For example, that long Marshall return when they faked Winnipeg out on the punt. There was a couple guys who didn't block anybody. Had they made a block, Marshall scores, it could be a different game. And the fact that everybody is calling for McAdoo when the offense was in the red zone and they weren't running the ball, wasn't scoring points, well, that's not all on McAdoo. Some of the blame has to land on Dickinson's head, because I know when I was coached by Chris Jones, he would say, you know what? No, we're not running that play. We're running the ball. And he would kind of override what his O coordinator would do. So that kind of falls on the shoulders of the head coach a little bit too. They should have handed the ball off, yes, but that's not totally all on McAdoo. And so Dickinson has to step up and take some of the blame for some of the lapses in judgment and some of the play calling and some of the offensive scheme.
I appreciate you saying that. And regarding those ratings, by the way, that was an alka-bong to the NFL and to anybody that says the game should be played on Saturdays, because they smashed the NFL on Sunday in ratings. And yeah, we'll probably dig into this more when we hang up from you, Eddie, but Craig did say after the game that hard to feel bad when you've left everything on the field and it's like, no, there were mistakes made there. But I guess as a head coach, you have to say that. Because when you guys lost in Toronto, Eddie, in the Eastern Final, there was a lot of heat on McAdoo for not adjusting in that game either, if you remember. Because Chema was blitzing all night, and there was nothing done to change, and Jones would not criticize Mac then either, right? That's just, I guess, not what the head coach does. Not publicly, anyways.
Yeah, and you know, part of that is a relationship beyond the football field as well. Jones and McAdoo are boys. They go back a long time. A lot of people question why McAdoo has even had some of the positions as O coordinator that he's had. And it goes back to, you know, boys looking out for boys. And that's what the coaching carousel in most pro sports are. It's a boys club and they follow each other around. But going back to that East final, you know, we should have won the game on defense. We were a 3rd-and-5 play away from going to the Grey Cup via crossover. Ricky Ray made a heck of a throw on a wheel route up the sideline to James Wilder. Had they did not have completed that 3rd-and-5 play, we win the game. And, you know, but you can look at it so many ways and spin it so many ways. And again, I'm not a McAdoo advocate. I'm not. I'm just saying not all the blame should go on him because the head coach ultimately has the final say and he lets things go.
So it's Winnipeg-Hamilton in the 107th Grey Cup. I think it's a hell of a matchup, but I think a lot of people feel that it is. It's new, you know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a matchup. Winnipeg is going into it not limping, but they're not definitely not healthy. It's kind of interesting, Zach Collaros against Simone. We all know the storyline behind that. I'm a Winnipeg kid, and, you know, it's nice to see the Bombers have some success. But to be honest, I think that drought is going to continue for another year. Hamilton is just playing such good football, and they're not one-dimensional. They have a really good passing attack on offense, but to complement that, they have a really good defense. It'd be one thing if they couldn't stop anybody and they're just trying to outscore everybody, but their defense is a really good defense. Their DBs, their D-line. Obviously, we know the well-mentioned Simone Lawrence and their linebacking core. So they have a really well-rounded team. The mastermind, Jeff Reinbolt, special teams coordinator. And it's pretty cool looking at the two head coaches who were on that coaching staff in Toronto and both now having their head coaching opportunities and just really flourishing in those roles and having some good success. That Scott Milanovich staff back a few years ago produced some really good coaches. Jason Moss, Chris Jones. Milanovich is in the States now as an O coordinator, passing coach, and Steinauer, O'Shea. There was a lot of good coaches on that staff when the Argos won.
Marshall Hamilton here. Quick question, because you've opened the door for me, but who's your vote for Coach of the Year?
I would give it to Steinauer. I would give it to Steinauer. Dickinson, he did a great, phenomenal job. Again, as I mentioned, I don't think anybody would have expected the Riders to have had the success they've had. But Hamilton has hit the ground running, and they've been that team to beat all year. So it's tough to argue against Steinauer. He's had his players coached up the best all year, and they haven't, like I said, had any hiccups. They've been dominant all year long. So I would have to give it to him. And it's his first year as a head coach. So to come out and have that type of success, it's tough to argue against.
Eddie, this has been outstanding analysis today. Thanks for joining us as always. And glad to see everything's going so well. And appreciate our visits outside the show. And can't wait till the next one, my man. Enjoy Grey Cup Sunday.
Absolutely. You guys too. Thanks for having me.
One of the great ones, Eddie Steele, joining us here on the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning. Clark, let's go to break after this call. One more segment with Marsh and Ryan, and then the Leroys. Is that cool with you guys? You good?
Yeah.
Okay, lots to get to when we come back. It's Grey Cup Week here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your Sasktel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99.
entertainment your way. Anyway, get your Max TV Stream Media Box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Is this the best team in Tiger Cats history? Hamilton goes looking for its first title since 99 this Sunday in Calgary.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Apologies for the technical problems. We are back on the air. That has not happened in a very long time. I'm not sure what it is, but we've had a second seeding here. Ryan Ballantyne and Marshall Hamilton have adjourned, and we welcome to the program Leroy and Leroy. It's Moose Jaws, Leroy and Leroy. Don't adjust your sets. How are you?
How are you doing there, Rod? This is pretty cool. We were just looking for something to do today, and we said, hey, let's just go be guests on the Rod Peterson Show. So I'm glad you guys let us in.
Just rolled in. Yeah, any problem finding it?
Well, I mean, they said it was in the middle of a field, so we walked around the field yelling, hey, Rod. Until somebody came and got us. So, like, eventually we got here.
Eventually you found it. A couple of Leroys from Moose Jaw.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like this, we've been, just hanging out and doing fun things. That's our whole thing. We like to say, there's always something to do, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Right. Yeah, I haven't been bored since I was 8 years old. I'll tell you what. When I heard the concept of Leroy and Leroy, I thought of Bob and Doug. And okay. You really seem to have that down. Tell me about Leroy and Leroy, please.
We got together and we said that we just got tired of people saying, I'm bored. There's nothing to do.
So in Moose Jaw.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like there's a small town, Saskatchewan. Sometimes people are like, hey, there's nothing to do here. And we were like, well, there's always something to do.
I agree.
So we got together and said, hey, let's show people what there is. And whether it's feeding birds or, you know, like Leroy here chasing the dogs around the dog park. Like, there's always something you can do.
Yep.
I thought Leroy didn't talk. His 30 talks. Is this a groundbreaking moment here right now?
He likes to throw the occasional word out there. I don't know. Like, I never told him he can't talk. He just doesn't like doing it very much.
He's making himself at home right here in the studio.
This is more what Leroy's
can you
like.
Control him? Do you have a leash for him?
Nah, you know, you can't really control what he does.
Leroy.
He just left.
He's putting on a rider helmet. And
I don't think that's going to fit your head, Leroy.
Yeah, and green doesn't really work on the screen. But
did you notice?
Hey, look at that. You're disappearing on the Grey Cup wall.
The top of your head's gone.
Is this the kind of stuff that you guys do all the time?
Pretty much, yeah.
Just whatever the hell you want. Similar, so do we. We're a good team.
Yeah, well, the great thing about you, Rod, is that you're like the best talking about what other people are doing and making it entertaining. Like, that's a skill right there, you know? Like, not everybody can just watch other people doing things and then talk about what the other people are doing and make it sound like a fun thing.
Well, thank you. I've never quite had it put that way before.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
That's just here to have some good time.
So Leroy and Leroy of Moose Jaw's Leroy and Leroy. That's what it says on the marquee there. Yeah. Tell me where your content is, where people can see it, and what are some of the fun things you guys have done?
You know, you can go to Facebook and look up Leroy and Leroy. You'll find us. I think it's facebook.com/Leroy and Leroy. I don't know, like check out our moose crossing video. We talked about moose jaws. There's crosswalks of moose jaw, Rod. I don't know if you knew this, where you have to have your pet moose with you if you're going to cross the street. So we give the ins and outs.
I forgot that, but I knew at one time.
Yeah, yes. So we give the ins and outs of, you know, how to cross with your moose. I think we did the get up. Do you know the get up, Rod?
No.
Oh, it's bro, Leroy's pretty good at it. It's a pretty popular song and dance right now. And
this is
and
a song.
We showed people how to. Yeah, we showed people how to do the get up.
He doesn't know where he's going. It's like a floss. It's like a out of rhythm floss.
Well.
It's a country song, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like a country song. So we do the get up
the
on
get
there.
Up. And wow.
We visit all the great destinations.
See
in
that at the Royal on Saturday night?
Well, that's not there anymore. It's just a parking lot now.
Oh damn. I got to get over to Moose Jaw more.
Yeah, come see us.
How about the Moose Jaw Zoo?
We did. We went to the old Moose Jaw Wild Animal Park. And you're not going to believe this, Rod. There's no animals there anymore. Like, we looked... I remember seeing lions and wolves when I was a kid. We went down there. It's all gone. I don't know where the animals are, if they like busted loose or like what the deal is, but we can't find them.
So you were going to do that as one of your things to do.
Right. But, you know, like we still had fun down there until we got chased by a squirrel.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. My brother used to work at that park. That was his summer job, cleaning the monkey cages. And he was assaulted by a gorilla. It's one of our favorite family stories. The gorilla reached through, grabbed him by the hair, pulled him against. His hair was like yours. He's a hockey player, long and curly like yours. Pulled his head against the rack, and the only way he could get the gorilla to drop him was he sprayed him with his hose, and the gorilla dropped his head. True story. Moose Jaw Wild Animal Park.
That might be the greatest wild animal park story that I've ever heard.
I was home when he came home that day. He was rattled.
That's like even better than the time that Leroy was there, and he tried to crawl into the monkey cage. But, like, that one's pretty cool.
Oh, it stunk, Leroy.
They were throwing poop at him. Oh,
this
weird,
is good. So, tell me more about your show. Like, what do people need to know about it before we shut her down here for the overtime segment?
You know what? Just go check it out on Facebook, you know? Like, we're always just looking to have fun. We, you know, we came into Regina a couple times. We hung out with Justin and Greg. And we went and saw the guys. We went and saw some guys in Regina today. We'll have a video from that coming out soon. So, you know, like just checking out Leroy and Leroy. And there's always something to do. That's our whole thing.
There's right, always Leroy? Something to do in Moose Jaw. Can you give me the top 10 things to do in Moose Jaw while okay. you're here?
Top 10 things to do in Moose Jaw. I mean,
sorry to put you on the spot.
But. Oh, that's all right. Like number 10 for sure is going to see Mac the Moose. World's biggest moose. Just want to throw yep. that out there. Got our title back. Forget you, Norway.
Number nine.
Silver moose. Number nine thing to do in Moose Jaw. I probably would go, even though there's no animals there, out to the old wild animal park for sure.
Somebody writing this down, by the way. I'm liking this. Okay. Yeah. Number eight.
Number eight. Now, okay, it's not exactly in Moose Jaw, but we went out to White Track, the ski hill at Buffalo Pound, which I feel like counts as Moose Jaw. I'm not going to believe this, Rod. There's no ski hill there anymore either. But, you know, you can go tobogganing out there. So that's definitely number eight. That's on the list, right?
Number seven.
You know what? How about you come in February and come check out the Scotties?
They're perfect. Ding, 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 ding. I like it.
That's a good one right there.
Number six.
Cowbells. Number six. Probably just go check out the Moose Crossings downtown. That's always a good time.
You're doing well. Number five.
Number five, I think you got to go and...
go to the Crush Can?
Did you just break that?
No, he didn't. He's good.
You got to go to the Crush Can Rec Room, actually. That's a good place. They've got
no, I meant the rink.
Games now. The rink, it's not there anymore either, Rod. We don't have much, honestly. There's always something yeah. to do, even though it's not there.
Number four.
Number four, go to Mosaic Place. Go check out a Moose Jaw Warrior game. As you can see... Wrapping the Moose Jaw.
Wrapping the Warriors. Love it.
He's
yeah.
even got a Warrior.
The Tribe.
Head on
yep.
his desk.
Number three.
Oh, boy. Rod's putting us on the spot here today, Leroy.
I'm waiting for a Mad Greek reference.
Go see John at the Mad Greek. That is pretty
He's
amazing.
He's a big fan of this show, Johnny yeah, Utritis.
John is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Let me tell you this story, Rod. Yep. I was in a fantasy league with John, and he sent me a trade request, and I said, sure, because I didn't know what I was doing. And then he sent me a thing back and said, no, I'm going to give you more because I don't want to rip you off. That's how good of a guy John is.
He is a good guy. He's an honest guy.
Go get some
number two. Ribs
and Caesars. Number two thing to do in Moose Jaw is just find the mayor and just make short jokes. Fraser really likes it when you make fun of his height a little bit. So we like to find Fraser and just make short jokes at him.
And number one.
Number one thing to do in Moose Jaw. Come hang out with Leroy and Leroy.
Come hang out.
Like, we're always a good time.
Where would they find you?
Just walk down Main and yell out Leroy. Like, eventually, like, Leroy's always running around.
You'll find somebody named Leroy if you yell Leroy in downtown Moose Jaw.
Yeah. I love it. For sure.
No tunnels of Moose Jaw reference. Are they still there?
Yes, I love the tunnels. The tunnels are fantastic. So is the trolley tour. So is going to the spa there, the Temple Gardens. Now you're making me think of all the things I forgot to say. Look, there's a lot of things to do in Moose Jaw, Rod.
That's the whole idea, right?
That's right.
See, that's what I do. I make miracles happen here every day.
Well, I appreciate you having us.
All right. Here, Rod. Thank you, Leroy and Leroy. Appreciate it, guys.
Awesome.
Facebook, they can find you again, Leroy and Leroy.
Yeah, Facebook.com Twitter, Instagram. /Leroy and Leroy. And if you want to be a guest on the Rod Peterson Show,
just show up.
Just walk out into a field and yell Rod, and he'll get you.
There's a very good chance of that happening. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, before we go off the air, I just want to update. This is the latest from the Sports Wire today on this Tuesday morning. Hockey commentator Don Cherry says Sportsnet made it impossible for him to address the comments that led to his dismissal. Cherry says on his new podcast, it dropped this morning, he was unwilling to accept the network's conditions to have him return following his Coach's Corner segment on Hockey Night in Canada on November 9th. The 85-year-old broadcaster made remarks many felt were critical of immigrants for not wearing Remembrance Day poppies. Cherry contends he was not singling out minorities. So that's from this morning. It's a busy night in the NHL with 13 games on the slate. Every Canadian team is in action, but only the Flames are at home. The Flames will look to end a four-game losing streak, including back-to-back shutout defeats when they host the Colorado Avalanche. The struggling Leafs try to put the brakes on a four-game slide when they visit the Golden Knights in Vegas. The Knights are also struggling with 3 wins over their last 10. Also tonight, Montreal's at Columbus. Ottawa visits Detroit. Winnipeg is in Nashville. Vancouver visits Dallas. And Edmonton is in San Jose. And that'll do it for our Tuesday episode, episode number 118, and Grey Cup week just getting rolling. Thanks to our guests, Leroy and Leroy. Can't wait to see the clips of this show on their show. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate that. We got to get our Moose Jaw numbers up. Marshall Hamilton, Darren Bombing, Eddie Steele, and Ryan Ballantyne, thanks for making this show a success, and we'll see you Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.